This I know, God is for me. Every second of every moment of every hour of every day, forever and ever, you can't change it. God is for you.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello and happy Friday, everyone. On the program today, Pastor Bill has an encouraging message from his Romans series. The message is entitled, What Can Separate Us from the Love of God? Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Let's turn to chapter 8 in the book of Romans. Chapter 8. Undoubtedly, Romans is the greatest book out of all 66 books in the Bible. And chapter 8 in the book of Romans is the greatest chapter ever written. Amen. It begins for us. I pray that it's embedded in your heart. You know, when I finished up this message last night, I'd been away. I've been down in Houston at a conference, and I wrote at the very end of my sermon on my notes, I wrote a message to me. And I said, Lord, may I live, my wife and I, may we live the rest of our lives in Romans chapter 8. May it embed our hearts. May we not just know it up here, but may it come into our hearts and just live and abide there in the life that we're living on this planet. You know, Romans 8 begins with no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, and it ends with no separation. And in between all the other verses, there's not one ounce of defeat in the believers' lives. This morning, as we look at what can separate us from the love of God, I tell you, I pray that you remember that from chapter 6 to the end of chapter 8, we've been studying out the great doctrine of sanctification, which is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer that takes us from glory to glory to glory, transforming us into the very image, our Christ-likeness, into our lives. Amen? So important that we know that. And we left off last time with five incredible words, foreknew and predestined and called and justified and glorified. All of those words, loved one, are in the past tense, meaning in the eyes of Almighty God, they are already accomplished in the life of the believer. That's our position. Are you with me? Very important as we conclude this chapter this morning. Now, these last seven questions literally drive home the truth of all that God has done in eternity past, in our present, and in eternity future. That our salvation, if you are truly born again, you are totally and completely secure in Christ Jesus forever and ever and ever, no matter if you feel like it or not. Are you with me? Okay, these seven questions lead us down that road now. And let's look, matter of fact, let me quote this guy here. He said this, this theologian, he said the whole passage that we're about to review and study today, this whole passage transcends almost everything in language. Boy, there's no doubt about it. You know, you're going to have obstacles and problems throughout your entire life. Now, I know that a lot of churches don't teach you have any problems and so forth, but we do have problems in life. This is when you need to have Romans 8 living in your heart. Amen? So let's look at these questions as we approach the first one here. Oh, why don't we begin? Let's go down and begin. Let's pick up from last Sunday. Let's look at verse 29. First, it says, for whom he foreknew, he, meaning God, of course, also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. And Paul shouts out, he goes, listen, what then shall we say to these things, or what shall we say in response to these things? Boy, That is a great question. Believer, I'm asking you this morning, what do you say about those things? We should be shouting. We should have the greatest praise and worship services on this planet. Amen? There should be no such thing as mediocre applause to God or, you know, thank you, Lord. You know, no. If you were at a TCU game, you wouldn't go thank you when they scored. That is, if you're for TCU. If you know, Baylor Bear, I mean, you guys, whoa. I love you, but I'm just talking. That's not the Holy Spirit, that's Bill. But you know, when you're at a football game, do you get into it? Listen, when I'm in my living room and the Cowboys, I mean, I'm not a Cowboy, I am now. I mean, I get up and I'm like, they can't hear me, but I'm shouting like they can. You don't do that, do you? Well, listen, what shall we say to these things? We should say, oh God, everyone should have a tambourine and we'd be shouting with all of our hearts, giving thanks unto our Lord, amen, for what he has done in us. In other words, what are we going to say to these things? I have nothing to fear. I have absolutely, you have nothing, because those chains, those words, those five words are unbreakable. No one can alter what God has done. No one can change what God has done in the life of the believer. No one can rob us of our salvation. You understand? I say, Lord, I'm so thankful. Because you know how many times people come to my office, I'm afraid, you know, that I'm really not saved. And I say, why? Well, I just don't think God saved me. I don't know. And I say, did you ask Jesus to come into your heart? Yeah. Have you been changing? Yes. Well, what's your problem? If you're changing, something's going on in your life. In other words, it's changing into Christ's likeness. So what shall we say to these things? If God, or since God, or because God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? That's what it said. That's that second question. Listen, that's not, I hope God is for me, or maybe God is for me, or maybe God is for you, or you know what? He might be for us. No, no, listen. This is just not anyone. This is God himself. The creator, the sustainer, the one who named the stars, the one who knew you in eternity before you knew anything. Are you following me? God himself, all that he has, all that he is, all that his name implies, he is for you. I look at that and I say, oh God, you're so good. You were for us in eternity past. You are for us right this second, and you are for us for all eternity. God is for us. But you don't understand, Bill, I failed. Really? I failed too. We've all failed. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? But God is for you when you fail. But Bill, I'm in a horrible rut. I tell you that God is for you right this minute. You can't change God being for you. You can't do it. It's impossible. The psalmist has cried out in Psalm 56, 9, he said this, "This I know." I know with all my heart, in other words, "This I know, God is for me." Every second of every moment, of every hour, of every day, forever and ever, you can't change it. God is for you. If God is for us, loved one, who in the world could be against us? Did you know that is a challenge from God Almighty? Who could be against my kids? You know what I mean? He challenges the entire universe. If I'm for my children, my sons and my daughters, who could ever stand up to me? Are you listening to me? Who could stand up to God? No one can stand up to God. No, listen, you know, who dares to stand up against us? It doesn't mean that all of our enemies have been washed away. No, they're still present here with us. You know, the devil, is he against you? Yes, but he's against you defeated. He's a defeated devil, amen? Not only that, the flesh is against you, no doubt about it. We've already learned that law of sin and death and is in our members, this old junky flesh. But the fact of the matter is that I have and you have a higher law that is working in us right now, and that is the law of the Spirit of life. That's the Holy Spirit that's in us right now that is transforming us into that Christ likeness. And you say, well, Bill, what about the world? Yeah, the world's against you. As we move forward in this thing we call time, maybe the next generation is going to find out how horrible or how the world really is against us. But here's the thing. The world may be against us, loved one, but we have overcome the world. You see, 1 John 5, 4 and 5, it says, whosoever or whatsoever, whosoever is born of God. When you're born from above, it says you have overcome the world. And who is he who has overcome the world but he who believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Amen? We are world overcomers. And let me tell you something about this world that we're living in. 1 John 2:15 says this, and this world and the lust of it, it is passing away. Passing away, but he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever. Amen. I'm so thankful for the word of God. Not only that, this speaking, if God is for us, who can be against us? This is God's protection. You know, did you know that God really is protecting you? He's really protecting me. You know, I've been at a conference in Houston and I was driving back and I hate driving in Houston traffic. If you're from Houston, I love you. I'm not condemning, but you know what I'm saying? You're always in a traffic jam. There I was on I-45. You know, I was still in the country. And you would think in the country it'd be fine. I was outside of Houston, all the pine trees. No, there was a forest fire, 6 or 7 fire trucks fighting, and here we are backed up in traffic for hours, you know? And I'm going, oh, I love going down here, you know? Yeah, I'm more than a conqueror, hallelujah, you know? Then I go, you don't want to hear my sad stories. But the Lord is for us. It says in Psalm 27:1 about God's protection, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and they fell. And though an army may encamp against me, I love that. Though an army may be encamped against me, my heart shall not fear. And though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. What? The Lord is my light. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my salvation. Amen? Listen, God is a very present help in time of trouble. Very present. He's right here with you because he's for you. Amen? Now listen, look at verse 32. It gets better. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, meaning on the cross, how, here's this question, how shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. Did you notice that Paul, in writing this, he goes from the greater, meaning Christ, to the lesser, meaning giving us all things. He didn't spare his own son. What does that mean? It means that God, who is for you, gave you his absolute best. Jesus was delivered up of his own volition. He took our sins, amen? He paid the penalty for our sins. He tasted death willingly for each and every one of us. He died for the sins of the world. Listen, here when we look at this third question where it says that God has freely given us all things, that's plural, by the way, that is speaking of our provision in our life. How is it that we as believers can be worried about God providing our needs? I'm serious. I mean, I have been there too. I know what it is to worry about things. But really, if we really believe chapter 8 of Romans, if we really believe that verse, if God didn't spare his own son, the spotless, sinless son of God, what do you mean he's not going to freely give you all things? He's going to take care of your every need. Did you know that? Not a hair of your head falls to the ground that he doesn't notice. And some of you are missing a lot. You know? No, he knows everything that's going on. Listen, you need to rise up in faith. He's given us all things. 2 Peter 1:3, he's given us all things that pertain to life, all things that pertain to godliness. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, pronounced us blessed with every spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Those are in Christ. Amen? Now listen, Romans 8:17, we are co-heirs with Christ. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, all things are yours. Listen, God will not withhold anything from us that's good for us. I'm talking about not our greed, but our need. Amen? He is our provider, you know? And watch this now. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Yeah, that's fourth question there. Who's going to bring a charge, any charge, against you? Who's going to try to press charges against the believer? Who's going to take the believer to court and say, you know, here we are in the courtroom and this is a Christian and I accuse him? No, listen, God justified us. He declared you innocent all by his grace. We didn't deserve any of it. Amen? You know, it is God who justifies, and those that God justifies, loved one, they stay justified. Did you know that? God would never justify a believer, meaning to declare that person innocent because they said, Jesus be the Lord of my life, and they really meant it, and then said, I think I made a mistake. I should have never declared you innocent. I should have never taken your sins as far as the east is from the west. That's insanity. No. Boy, I look at that and I say, Lord, we know who brings accusations against us. It's the devil, isn't it? You remember there in the Old Testament book of Zechariah? Let me read it to you from chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, and then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, and he was standing before the angel of the Lord. Now, the angel of the Lord is a theophany, or the pre-incarnate Christ, if you will. And it says, and Satan was standing at his right hand to oppose him, or literally to accuse him, going to accuse Joshua. And obviously, you know, listen, the devil can accuse you and he can be right. You know what I'm saying? If you blow it, you get into sin and he accuses you, you're hurting, you know you've done wrong, you've repented and you've been cleansed, but still he'll say, look what you did. Am I right or wrong? Yes, there he is. And so maybe Joshua, whatever the problem was, he was probably being accused correctly, even though it was Satan doing the accusing. And then the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who's chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? And now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and he was standing before the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ. And then he answered, and he spoke to those who stood before him there in that courtroom setting, saying, take away those filthy garments. And he said to him, see, I have removed, Joshua, your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes, the robe of righteousness. Amen. In other words, just like the prodigal. Listen, the devil is real. He was standing before the Lord saying, look at this guy. Look what he's done. But thank God that we have someone standing with us. In other words, we have an advocate. Remember 1 John 2:1, it says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we don't want to, but if we do, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, meaning the righteous, the sinless, spotless Son of the living God. Now listen, the word advocate means helper. It means counselor. It means comforter. It's a legal term, if you will. It's one who comes to your side in the time of need, literally here, like in the courtroom. Jesus is our attorney. When we are being accused by the devil before God the Father, Jesus says, whoa, uh-uh. You cannot bring one accusation against my children. Not one. Are you listening to me? Not one accusation can be brought against us. And Jesus has never lost a case yet. Amen. Okay? No, we are cleansed. Thank God that what Jesus has done for us. So every accusation from the devil is going to be completely thrown out, if you will, for it is God who justifies. Now, with all that being said, your salvation then can't be in danger. And the reason it can't be in danger is because God has justified you, declared you righteous in his sight. The day of our condemnation has forever passed. That doesn't mean that we have a liberty to go sin. Amen? No, but it does mean this. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, God has forgotten our sins. He has forgiven our sins. Verse 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, meaning he paid for the penalty of our sin. And furthermore, he's risen, meaning he had victory over death, victory over sin, victory over the devil. And it says, not only that, who is even at the right hand of God, that's his exalted position, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and watch this, who also makes intercession for us. Listen, you know how it is. You'll tell somebody, they'll say, man, I've been going through it. I'll be praying for you. And by the time you get out the door, you forgot their name. But boy, Jesus, no, he's always making intercession for you and intercession for me. No, listen, who's going to condemn us? The world? Okay, the devil? Oh, right. I even condemn myself sometimes. But here's the thing. Let the whole world condemn us. But listen to what it says in Romans 5:10. It says, for when we were enemies, that's past tense, by the way, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Our dying Savior reconciled us to God. How much more will the living Savior, who is interceding for us right now, keep us saved? Are you following me? That's why the Bible tells us in Hebrews 7:25, it says, therefore he is able, meaning Jesus, to save us to the uttermost. That means completely. It means forever and ever and ever. To those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Thank God that we have a Savior, or the Savior, that's there at the right hand of God. And he's praying for us all the time. He's always standing with us. He is our advocate. Now, these next verses are so deep, I don't know what. Paul is just going to mention everything imaginable here about what can separate us from the love of Christ. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The sixth question. The answer to that is absolutely nothing. And no one. Amen? But do you really believe that? That's really the question, love. You see, that word separate means to tear apart. It means to divide. It means to sever. It's also used in other scriptures. For example, it says, for what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder, or let no man sever it, or separate it. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here's the wonderful thing. It's not our love for Christ. It's his love for us that's being spoken of here. Listen, nothing can put distance between you and his love. Nothing. Not one issue, not one problem. And that love is deeper than we can imagine. It says in Ephesians 3:18, Paul says, I hope that you're able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Passes knowledge. It's deeper than we can imagine. And he goes and he says, now, shall tribulation separate you from the love of Christ? You know, we're going to have problems in this life. Amen? That's just the way it is. But you know, we know something about tribulation that the world doesn't know. Romans 5:3, what does tribulation? It says, we rejoice, if you will, in tribulation. You have that one on your refrigerator, I'm sure. We rejoice in tribulation because tribulation produces something, that perseverance. In other words, to keep going on and on. So we know that whatever we're going through, it's actually helping us. What did Jesus tell us in John 16:33? He says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace in the world. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, or have courage. I have overcome the world. Satan has tried and still tries and desperately tries to bring tribulation into the life of the believer. You know, and to cause them to thinking that he can separate them. But you know, the fact of the matter is, he can't separate us from the love of Christ. It's absolutely impossible. How about distress? Look at the next one. He says, our distress, can that separate us from the love of God? Oh, no. And you know, sometimes we go through horrible times, don't we? We go through times, the word distress means a narrow place. It means to be hemmed in on all sides. It means extreme anxiety. And we're just going through it. But the thing is, distress can never, ever, ever sever or separate us from the love of Christ. Listen to what Paul says about his travels. He said in 2 Corinthians 4:8, he says, oh, listen, we are hard pressed. That literally means we are hemmed in. We're in a narrow place. We're hemmed in on all sides, yet we're not crushed. We're not perplexed. In other words, we're not at wit's end. We're not worried about it. He says, but we're not in despair. No, even though we have anxiety at times, we know what to do with our anxiety, casting all of your care, your anxiety upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. We know the Lord is always standing with us. And you're going to have times in your life. That's why I'm saying, if there's a chapter that you want to embed in your heart, it's this one.
Well, don't miss the program on Monday when Pastor Bill will conclude today's message. Thanks everyone for listening to Love Never Fails. Have a great weekend, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.